the Bhagavad Gita, the real essence of it, to manifest, two ingredients are necessary: a qualified speaker and a qualified audience. And by your wonderful chanting, you have already proven that you're a very qualified audience. Unfortunately, I'm not so qualified, so therefore I'm asking your blessings to please give me permission to say something and to please bless me that we can discuss Krishna's appearance today. Hare Krishna. Sonst werde ich gesteinigt. Okay. Ist zum Glück nicht unsere Kultur. Nicht Govardhan. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Chose a verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam for tonight, chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna, text number 46. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Ityukya Vasita Vistusnim, Bhagavan Atma Mayaya, Pitro Sampashyato Sadyo, Mabhuva Pakriti Shushu. Shri Shuka Uvacha,
Shri Shuka Uvacha,
Shri Shuka Dev Goswami said,
Shri
Shukadeva
Goswami said,
Iti
Uktva, Iti Uktva,
after instructing in this way,
after instructing in this way,
Asit,
Asit,
remained,
remained,
Harihi,
Harihi,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Tushnim,
Tushnim,
silent,
silent,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
Lord Vishnu,
Lord Vishnu,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Atma Mayaya,
Atma Mayaya,
by acting in his own spiritual energy,
by acting in his own spiritual energy,
Pitru Sampashyataho,
Pitru Sampashyataho,
while his father and mother were factually seeing him,
while his father and mother were effectually seeing him.
Sadyaha.
Sadyaha.
Immediately.
Immediately.
Babuva.
Babuva.
He became.
He became.
Prakritaha.
Prakritaha.
Like an ordinary human being.
Like an ordinary human being.
Shishuhu.
Shishuhu.
A child.
A child.
Translation. Shukadev Goswami said, after thus instructing his father and mother, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna remained silent. In their presence, by his internal energy, he then transformed himself into a small human child. In other words, he transformed himself into his original form, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.6, whatever is done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is done by his spiritual energy. Nothing is forced upon him by the material energy. This is the difference between the Lord and an ordinary living being. The Vedas say, Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Shriyate Svabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha, Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.8. It is natural for the Lord to be untinged by material qualities, and because everything is perfectly present in his spiritual energy, as soon as he desires something, it is immediately done. The Lord is not a Prakrita Shishu, a child of this world, but by his personal energy, he appeared like one. Ordinary people may have difficulty accepting the Supreme Controller God as a human being because they forget that he can do everything by spiritual energy, Atma Mayaya. Non-believers say, how can the Supreme Controller descend as an ordinary being? This sort of thinking is materialistic. Srila Jiva Goswami says that unless we accept the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as inconceivable beyond the conception of our words and mind, we cannot understand the Supreme Lord. Thus, who doubt that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can come as a human being and turn himself into a human child are fools who think that Krishna's body is material, that he is born, and that he therefore also dies. The purport continues, but we will stop here. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Akasha Charishatari Jai Jagannath Vancha Kalpa Drupesha Kripa Sindhu Vedeva Cha Patitana Pavani Devo Vaishnavi Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vyasari Gauravakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Hare. The verse was Shukadev Goswami said, after thus instructing his father and mother, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna remained silent. In their presence, by his internal energy, he then transformed himself into a small human child. In other words, he transformed himself into his original form, Krishna's Bhagavan Swayam. A little louder here. Okay, can you hear me better now? Yeah? Okay. Any one of you knows where this takes place, this transformation of Krishna?
In the prison of Kamsa.
Right. On a dark, dark night, a long time ago, Krishna appeared to his eternal parents, Vasudev and Devaki, but he appeared in the form of Vishnu. He appeared after intense prayer of Vasudev and Devaki in a form that was effulgent, that was glowing. And through the effulgence, Vasudev could perceive Krishna wearing a beautiful crown, wearing a flower garland, having four arms, carrying different weapons and symbols, a lotus flower, a conch shell. So Krishna did not at all take birth like any of us do. I just had the great fortune to witness the birth of my own child, just as Shyamachandra Prabhu did. And Krishna did not appear at all like this from the body of another human being. But he just magically, one could say, appeared in front of his parents. And Vasudev and Devaki at first were quite speechless. And then once they regained their composure, they started to pray beautiful prayers. Glorify Krishna, how he is the supreme controller, the original personality of Godhead. How he is creating, maintaining, and ultimately destroying everything. And they were thus praising Vishnu with all of his different qualities. But then something very amazing happened. Krishna, or Vishnu, reciprocated to his parents' prayers. He gave them instructions how they should always remember him. He told them about their previous births, how ultimately this moment in time right now happened, that they are sitting in the prison cell and that he appeared for them. And he told them, by just remembering me, you will attain my eternal abode. And then after speaking, as we hear here, he became silent. And then magic happened. One could say, this gigantic, beautiful forearm form transformed itself into a small human baby, into a baby child. This is quite amazing, isn't it? That Krishna is taking the position of a child who is under the complete protection of his parents. The supreme controller, just as Vasudev had just glorified Krishna, you're the supreme controller, you're in charge of everything. He says, you're creating everything and therefore you're actually owning everything. Everything is yours because you are the one who created everything. Everything is under your control. This person now puts himself under the complete control of his devotee. So he's surrendering his entire being to his devotee. That's what Krishna wants to do. It's not that he has to do this, but he wants to do this. And as Prabhupada puts here very nicely, because in the verse it says, in other words, he transformed himself into his original form. This is something that is not in the Sanskrit. Prabhupada puts this in parentheses to make very clear that this human-like, childlike form that Krishna is taking is not a form that is extraordinary or that is unusual, but it's actually his original form. Originally, Krishna is the child of his devotee. Krishna is the friend of his devotee. Krishna is the lover and the beloved of his devotee. Originally, Krishna is not God. Then what are we doing here? If Krishna is not God, then why are we here? I thought I'm doing a religious ceremony today. I thought I'm participating in a spiritual and religious tradition today by coming to the temple. Why is there a temple for somebody who is not God? Originally, Krishna is not God because he doesn't have to be. When Krishna goes to work, he plays the role of being God. And he does so in the form of Vishnu. He does not do that in the form of Shyam Sundar Krishna, of the eternal child, of the eternal playful being. But when he has to manage his creation, he's actually expanding himself into a different form. So he does not have to be bothered by wasting time, losing time playing games. So actually, when Krishna appeared in this world, he first appeared in one of his incarnations as Vishnu. And then, after appearing in this way, he takes his original form as Krishna, as Gopal, little baby Krishna. And Prabhupada points out something that Jiva Goswami says here in his purport, that somebody who thinks that Krishna is a human being, and therefore Krishna is getting born into this world, and that Krishna has a material body like all of us, that this person is a fool. Jiva Goswami calls this person a fool. And Prabhupada actually puts us in front of a intellectual puzzle here in this purport. He says, we have to accept that Krishna, the Supreme Controller, is inconceivable, and he is beyond our words and our mind. And only once we accept this, then we can understand Krishna. So how does that work? Trying to understand something that is beyond my understanding. Just think about this for a moment. It's a paradox. I'm trying to understand something that's by nature beyond my capability to understand. It's not like a mathematical puzzle. I was really bad at math in school. Really, really bad. But at least now I understand that, at least theoretically, I could have been able to solve these mathematical problems that I was presented with. I was just too lazy to do it, or I was maybe intellectually incapable in doing it. But it is possible. It's in the nature of mathematical problems to be solvable. So here is something that is impossible to understand, and we can only understand it when we accept it, that it's impossible to understand. Who has an idea how that is supposed to work? Any idea? Yes.
Through the heart only.
Through the heart. Yeah.
The super soul connection.
Yeah, you're on the right track. Yeah, Devakin.
First thing, Krishna cannot be understood by intelligence. It can be understood only by love.
By love, yes.
Intelligence, because we can.
The heart, love, yes. You have an idea?
The impossible can reveal itself to us.
Yes, it can be revealed to us.
Causeless mercy.
You're all right. All of you are completely correct.
Surrender,
another important point. We surrender to Krishna, we accept this. Krishna, I just accept I cannot understand you, and then something happens. Then by his causeless mercy, he reveals himself in our heart. So Krishna is a person who is in charge. He is in charge of this game that he's playing with us. Right now Krishna is playing a game with us, just like he's playing games with his friends in Vrindavan. We might not be able to perceive these games. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Like Jayadev and Lisa, they were cooking last Saturday the feast for Lord Jagannath, and suddenly the sink fell apart and the kitchen got flooded. And today we checked and everything seemed perfectly fine, and we couldn't understand how that could have happened. And our conclusion was, that must have been Lord Jagannath's play. He must have played a joke on the both of them. So Krishna is constantly playing jokes on us, he's playing games with us, he's having fun with us. But we are so serious. Life is tough. Oh, work. Family problems. Oy, oy, oy. Bills to pay. Oh my God. The tax collector. Oy, oy, oy. So many problems. The body aches. The mind is somewhere else. Oy, oy, oy. The bhajan wasn't nice enough. The prasadam is too salty. So many problems. We are so serious, but Krishna is never serious. Why do you think that Lord Jagannath is always smiling? Jagannath never looks like, oy, this is, creation is so intense. This business of being God is so hard. No, Krishna always smiles. Because for him, everything is a game. Everything is fun. And he's having fun with us too. And sometimes he's showing this by playing little tricks on us. And sometimes he's showing it, this playful nature, by just embracing us. And we feel this embrace when we chant kirtan, or when we read about Krishna, or when we're in the association of the devotees. We feel this intense embrace of Krishna, that in our heart, as Prabhupada was saying, in our heart, we feel, suddenly I can understand Krishna a little bit. I can understand Krishna's playful nature a little bit. What we often feel first is the material side product of peace, of calmness. And that's something that we are striving for sometimes. We think, oh yes, I'm practicing spiritual life to get peaceful, to feel calm, to get rid of stress. Any one of you ever chanted the holy names of Krishna just to get rid of some stress? Any one of you ever thought, oh, let me go to the temple today so I feel a little bit peaceful in my heart? Wow, okay. Do you want to know a secret?
Yes.
If you come to the temple, if you associate with the devotees, if you chant the holy name of Krishna to get peaceful in your heart, to experience freedom from stress, you will never get it. This peace will never come. But when we chant the holy name for the pleasure of Krishna, just to glorify Krishna, Krishna, you are so wonderful. Jai Shri Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Then we feel joy in our heart, and as a material side product, we will also feel calm and peaceful and happy. But if we do this for our own satisfaction, for our own goals of peace and happiness, it doesn't work. Sometimes Krishna gives us a little bit just to keep us going. We are like little children who have to be encouraged sometimes. Just keep on going. But actually, the process will never work like that. Our attention has to be on Krishna. And then everything else will come by itself. Because these are the material side products of this loving embrace of Krishna. This playful embrace of Krishna that he's giving us. So trying to understand Krishna with logic, with our mind, through our words, will be a very, very impossible task. It will take us this life and many more lifetimes, and we will never reach the end of it. Through logic and philosophy, we can understand Krishna's position as God in this creation. That is possible. we can logically explain the existence of a supreme being in this world. And we can logically explain why this being is the supreme being. But Krishna's eternal nature is completely beyond our material logic. Because he does whatever he pleases, when he wants to do it. There is no philosophical explanation why Krishna decides to jump on the heads of the serpent Kaliya and dance. Anyone knows this wonderful pastime? No?
Yes.
Okay. Not many, so let me paraphrase it at least. We don't have too much time today, but let me paraphrase it, because it's a very, very beautiful pastime. One day Krishna and the cowherd boys were taking the calves and the cows back from the grazing grounds back to Vrindavan, back to the cowshed. And at some point, the cowherd boys and the cows became very, very thirsty. The sun was high, and the afternoon sun was high in the sky, just like today. And if any of you were out today around 4 or 5 o'clock, it was very hot. When it's hot, you get thirsty. So the cowherd boys, they got very thirsty. And the cows got very thirsty, and they were rushing to the Jamuna, which was just there. And they were so thirsty that they did not consider where exactly they were taking the usually crystal clear water, the honey sweet water of the Jamuna to drink. Usually the Yamuna is described to be a river of nectar, that once you drink a drop, you feel rejuvenated. You feel fresh, you feel alive. Even nowadays, you can still feel this sometimes. When we are in Vrindavan and we take a bath in the Yamuna, you come out and you feel refreshed. Much more than just after a shower. There's a different quality to it. So at Krishna's days, no, it was a river of honey, of nectar, of sweetness. But there was one spot in the Jamuna where a very, very vicious, poisonous snake was living. There was actually a lake in the Yamuna, quite a big lake. And in this lake, a serpent was living. And the serpent was thinking, this is my lake. This is my kingdom. I don't know, I heard there's this Krishna who pretends that this is his land, but I actually know this is my land. This is my lake, my place. And this snake was so poisonous that constantly poison was emanating from his teeth and from his very pores. And the water got so poisonous, it is said that when a bird was flying over the lake in the Jamuna, it would drop dead out of the sky from the poisonous fumes coming from the water. And all the trees already had died on the banks of the water, except for one. This tree can still be found today in Vrindavan. A tree that is eternal, because once a drop of nectar fell on it, and Garuda was carrying the heavenly nectar after churning the milk ocean. So, but the cowherd boys, they were so thirsty that they were completely bewildered, so they just jumped to the water and took a sip. And the cows did the same. And instantaneously they all fell to the ground dead. All of Krishna's friends died. And all of Krishna's beloved cows, they all died. So when the other inhabitants of Vrindavan saw this, their heart was broken. And they were screaming, "Oh Krishna! Krishna, come quickly, do something. All your friends and all the cows, they all have died." And Krishna immediately came running. Balaram did not, because Balaram understood what was going on. Balaram is very smart. He always knows what's happening. So Balaram did not worry. He stayed with his mother and demanded to drink more milk. But Krishna came running right away, and he saw all the cowherd boys and all the cows lying dead on the ground by the banks of the Yamuna. And he just looked at them and they all came back to life. That's what Krishna can do. Krishna is not limited by time, place and circumstance and by inconvenience like birth and death. So just by looking at his friends, they all came back to life. And then he asked, "What happened? What happened?" And one of the cowherd boys said, "Oh Krishna, I think this water is poisoned. We heard there is a snake living in the lake. I think the water is poisoned by this snake poison. And Krishna said, who is the snake who is killing all my friends and all the cows? Let him come, I will show him, I will teach him a lesson. And he was taking his hands and he was splashing in the water of the Yamuna and he was creating a little tsunami with it. So in the lake, the Kaliya serpent, he felt this intense waves coming at him, this disturbance in the water, and he became very angry. He said, who dares to disturb me in my lake? Who dares to disturb me when I'm sleeping here with my wives? And he rose from the water, and he was not just a snake. Any one of you has ever seen a snake swimming in the water? He was not a simple snake just with one head, but he had hundreds and thousands of heads. And he rose from the water like a gigantic sea monster. Loch Ness might, the Nessie in Loch Ness might be his little cousin, I don't know. But he was really ferocious. And when the coward boys saw him, they all shook with fear. This monster was coming from the water. So Krishna, what does he do? He tightens his belt. And he made some funny farting noises under his hands. I'm sure Nandi, who is not here right now, he could show us how to do it, maybe next time. I'm sure he knows how to do these noises. He did this to encourage the coward boys, don't worry, we will have a fun now, we will have a fight now. And he climbed on this tree, and from this tree he was jumping into the lake, right onto the heads of the Kaliya serpent. And then something most amazing happened. The serpent immediately started to surround him with his coils. And Krishna seemed to disappear in the snake. And all the coward boys became very fearful. By now, all the gopis and gopas had come from their houses because they had heard what happened. And even they were close to fainting. Krishna was disappearing from their eyes. Where is Krishna? Oh my God, the snake is killing our Krishna. Do something, do something. And they were calling out, Vishnu, Vishnu. They don't know that Krishna is God. They know there is Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna's eternal friends and family, they are under something called Yoga Maya. They don't know that Krishna is God. We also sometimes, or mostly, don't know that Krishna is God, but for a different reason. We are also under Maya, but a different Maya. The Maya that makes us think, I am God. But the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they just know Krishna is the most beautiful. They don't care about anything else. They don't want to know anything else. They're just happy with seeing the most beautiful Krishna every day. So once Krishna disappeared from their eyes, they became so upset and they were chanting different Vedic mantras to protect Krishna. They were calling the demigods to protect Krishna. Everything they could think of just to protect Krishna. And then by unconceivable magic, Krishna suddenly emerged from the snake. And he climbed on the snake's head and he started dancing. And it is described that this dance was just as beautiful as the rasa dance that he's performing with the gopis. And his little feet, they were tapping on the heads of the snake. And he was wearing ankle belts and they played beautiful music to it. And the whole kirtan was going on from Krishna's jewelry. Sometimes when we go to Vrindavan, we can sit under this tree and we can do a little kirtan and one can meditate how Krishna is dancing on Kaliya's heads and how maybe also we can invite him to dance on our head as well. So Krishna was dancing on the heads of the Kaliya serpent and with every step he took, it became more heavy and more heavy. At some point, Krishna's steps felt heavier than the weight of the earth on the head of the Kaliya serpent. And he became tired. Oh, what's going on? I don't know who this little boy is, but my God, he's wearing me out. I can't go on anymore. And at some point, from the last kick on his head, his life force disappeared from his body. And he died. And all the coward boys and gopas and gopis, they were, Jai! Hari Bol! Krishna is victorious yet again. Then something very beautiful happened. The wives of Kaliya came And they started to pray to Krishna, "Oh, my dear Lord, please be merciful to us. We know that this snake is very evil. We know that this Kaliya snake, all it's doing is trying to pretend that he is God, but he is our protector. And now we have lost the only protector we have in this world. So therefore we surrender unto you." And Krishna accepted all these snakes as his devotees. That's how merciful Krishna is. It does not matter what our nature is. We can be a beautiful Berliner, or a beautiful person from Brazil, or anywhere else, or we can be a cow, or a bee, or we can even be a snake. But if we surrender unto Krishna, sincerely, Krishna will accept us as his devotees. So we might think now, how can one explain any of this logically? All this sounds like fairy tales. And actually, fairy tales are the material manifestation of spiritual leelas. The magic that we find in this world is the material manifestation of the original magic we find in the spiritual world. Because Krishna is full of magic. Krishna is beyond our understanding. And all we can do is just pray to Krishna to please reveal himself to us. And on a day like today, he will most certainly do. Because today is the day that Krishna revealed himself to his devotees in this world. This is the day we are celebrating today, the day Krishna appeared in this material world. This is Sri Krishna Janmashtami. In the spiritual world, there is no Krishna's birthday celebration in the sense that, oh, today he appeared, because he's there forever. Every day they're celebrating Krishna. But when Krishna appears in this material world, he does so for our benefit. He's manifesting himself for our benefit, and because he did so today, he is especially merciful. So when we chant kirtan today, like we will do now a little bit, and later on during the aarti, we can pray to Krishna, "My dear Lord, please appear in my heart. You are inconceivable. I do not even pretend to try to understand you, but you're just so beautiful. Lord Jagannath, your smile is just so beautiful. Your eyes are just endlessly deep. I can just look at you all day long, my dear Lord. Please appear in my heart, and please always remain in my heart." And if we chant the holy name with this prayer in our mind, Krishna will show himself, he will reveal himself, and we will feel the spiritual joy in our heart. I promise you this. Now Krishna will take his birthday feast. So we would need a few of you to create a human line so we can bring all the preparations in here. So I would like to ask a few of you to create a little line so that the devotees don't have to walk back and forth all the time. And while we are preparing Krishna's birthday feast, we will chant a little kirtan that is usually sung by the devotees in Vrindavan for the pleasure of Krishna. And afterwards, after the offering is done, we will have the aarti. Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai! So please come to the front if you have the chance, and please chant very loudly and very attentively. Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nanda Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nanda.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Wir machen jetzt direkt einen fliegenden Wechsel. Ihr steht schon alle, das ist super. Ihr könnt nämlich direkt stehen bleiben. Wir machen jetzt direkt weiter mit der Arti und Merkirtan.